All righty, we are set and ready to roll into our MediaBits Power Hour. This is an opportunity for advertising sales leaders from around the world to listen to us today talking about advertising tools, resources, and strategies that will absolutely help you win. We've been hosting these kinds of programs going all the way back to 1995, working with advertising teams in 11 time zones, more than 2,000 organizations and leaders like you that we're helping them win in terms of advertising sales, whether it be magazine shoppers, newspapers, e-newsletters, your website. We understand what it means to talk the language of ad sales, and every one of our educational programs are always geared just like this. We encourage you to take detailed notes. We want you to take a look at the key points that we're going to be covering today, and the more notes you make, the more notes that will give you the opportunity to deploy exactly what we're doing, and it means that you have to be an active listener. And by the way, listening is one of the key points that we'll be covering today. Plus, we have pages and pages of questions. We'll be weaving the questions into our program today, and we'll also be fielding any questions that you send us real time. Just simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or send an email to Ernest, E-R-N-E-S-T, at powerhour.com. With me today is the fabulous president and founder of MediaBids, Jed. You are in the house. Give us an intro. Tell us what's cooking in MediaBids, and we're always so appreciative of our working together. So kick us off and give us a warm hello to the group and tell us what's happening in your world.
You've been hanging around those Hollywood types for too long. You know, a week is starting to rub off on you. I am. My name's Jed Gould. I am the president of MediaBids. We've been in business for about 14 years, and there are about 11,000 publications that use MediaBids. We are in the business of driving revenue to publications. We've got many different ways that we do it in terms of, but it's all print advertising, and we take national advertisers that have traditionally stopped spending money in print, or at least reduced what they're spending in print, and we work hard to get them to spend more money in print, and we've been successful in that regard. We have many clients who prior to using us had reduced their print budget substantially. And we've been able to drive millions of dollars back into print in 2013 alone, and we continue to do it. We're growing quickly, and we're able to do this for more and more companies, and we would love to have your publication involved. It's free to use MediaBids. And it's a great way to supplement your sales efforts like we're talking about here today. Your more traditional sales efforts like we're talking about here today. So thank you for joining us, and thanks a lot to Ernest. He brings an enormous amount of knowledge and expertise to these calls, and I always learn a lot from him. I'm looking forward to the next hour.
Beautiful. And thank you so much, Jed. So Jed's going to be guiding our presentation today. Jed, I'm going to take copious.
Ernest likes to freak me out because he knows I'm not very good at this.
It's the text I send him an hour before we get started. It says, Jed, I'm looking forward to your presentation. Where are the notes? Hey, to all of you, we always have fun in what we do. And frankly, we want you to have fun in what you do with your ad sales. So my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the advertising space and sector since 1986. We've been doing this a long time. And we work with leading publishing groups around the world and advertising sales teams, whether it's in print, e-newsletter, website, the digital footprint, all of those pieces. We understand the value of advertising and how to position and how to help you sell it. We provide executive coaching, which means we help our clients see what's possible and then find ways to accomplish the impossible. What does that mean? The hotter the kitchen, the larger your challenges, the more we love doing your work. Our clients want to grow their businesses and their ad revenue 10x, 20x, 50x. If you just want to muddle along and if you just want organic growth and you kind of want to wait with flies by, that's a beautiful thing. But those who we work with want big, big gains. We also help our clients with their website SEO and their SEM and their strategies online. We have an investment banking group. It means that we help our clients buy and sell, add companies and portfolios and properties, and we understand that piece. In LinkedIn, we run 19 groups, and these are LinkedIn is just to say a word about more than 300 million users. It is the premier place to drive leads and prospects. It's the single best marketing and selling opportunity we've seen in 30 years. We put on specific programs about LinkedIn. In fact, we just finished up with our weekly academy on Tuesday, specific to LinkedIn. We run 19 groups, more than talking about LinkedIn. There's all kinds of people out there declaring they're experts. I say, show me the money. We have 19 groups. We know what we're doing. We have 85,000 leaders. Jed, the other day, somebody asked me in one of our academies saying, you know, you could actually be a pretty big daily newspaper with a circ of 85,000. I said, I better go check. Jed, we would be one of the top 75 daily newspapers in North America today with that kind of circ. All right? So when we talk LinkedIn, we're proud of that. We understand specifically how to help you in LinkedIn prospect and sell more ads, and then for some of you, how and why you should have your own groups as well. Of the 1.9 million groups in LinkedIn, our group is number 195. That's how large we are. We also put on a weekly, live weekly advertising sales academy. Like, we're working here week over week over week. Every Tuesday we come together. Same bat time, same bat channel. Here's the difference. The line is open. It's open mic. We talk to you about the strategies. We field your questions. We help you win. We email in between. It's wonderful. And for the price of a couple cups of coffee each week, you should join us, and you should be part of our academy. And then lastly, we've put on a program like this. This is our 214th educational program since 1995, and it's a pleasure to be here. So with that as an overview, let's dive in. We've got some ground to cover. We're going to be talking today about staying in the know to get a yes. Now think about that. No's get me to yeses. Okay, I was kidding earlier, Jed, when I said, for those of us who are parents, you know, we have kids who say, I know exactly how to get that no to become a yes. Make no mistake, there is selling strategies that are specific to this, and staying in the know, Jed, is a topic that we have never covered over all the years. We've never blogged, posted, spoken about it, but it's one of these endearing principles, and you might say, so Ernest, what took you so long? You know, why today? You know, it's one of those things you just think about. You know that the no's are there, and yet you look forward to and enjoy the no's because the no's get you to the yeses. And we'll talk later on here, Jed, that the longer you stay in the no, the more that an advertiser says, no, I'm not advertising, the longer the meeting continues from the no, the closer you get to a yes. So we want all of you to write that piece down. From the moment you get a no, no, I'm not going to advertise with you, comes the objection or objections, and the longer the meeting continues from that no, the more success you have. So, Jed, the most extreme example is what? No, I'm not going to be in your yellow pages. Thank you very much. You can take back your card. Take back your media kit. Meeting is done. And right. Last I checked, you're walking to the door. That meeting is over, right, at that moment. That's the most extreme example, the shorter example. If they say, no, I'm not going to be in your directory or publication or website, and they continue on with their objections that we can field and their concerns that we can field and their observation about competitors which we can field, 30 minutes later, that became a yes. Okay? So all of you, you have to hold that image for just a minute because we're going to come back to that in just a second. Plus, we're going to field a bunch of the questions that have come in. So there are three key points that we're going to talk about. And Jed, a few years ago, we did two dedicated programs about a survey that was done of 1,100 small and medium-sized businesses, specifically about one piece of advice that they would give to media and advertising sales executives. These were dedicated programs, and to all of you, we encourage you to come back into the Media Bid site, go back and listen to the dedicated programs where we walked through all of those points. Today, we're just going to touch on a couple of the points. We're just going to weave in a couple just to re-ring our bell, just to clarify, and then we're going to and then field some questions, and then we're going to dive in to the staying in the know. Let's start with, you know, Jed, one of those points was, you know, do your homework, right? You're an advertising sales rep. You're coming in to talk to me about my company and my biz, or you've called me by phone to talk to me about. We have to do our homework, right? Pretty straightforward.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the more information you can bring with you, the more knowledge about that person's business you can bring with you to the meeting, more likely you're going to be able to overcome the objections.
Absolutely. And when we say do our homework, can we just agree, look, I'm a salty dog. I sold ads in the 80s through the 90s and 2000. We didn't have something called the web. So you couldn't go pull up an electronic brochure and learn about a company. You couldn't take a company's name and rip it across the web and find every piece of PR, news story, interview, blog, video. You didn't have those things. You couldn't pull up LinkedIn with 300 million users and get your hobbies, sports, interests, groups, clubs, how long you... I mean, Jed, if I called you up and said, hey, Jed, I want to come, you know, sell you an ad, and listen, before we meet tomorrow, though, can you do me a favor, send me your resume over? You'd be like, Ernest, not only are you not getting the meeting, I'm hanging up right now. Don't come tomorrow.
Right.
It would have been insane to call you up and ask for your resume before we have a meeting, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Even insane.
But I can go on LinkedIn... Right, I can go on LinkedIn today, and I can go find everything I need to know about you, at least enough to carry the first 10 minutes of a meeting.
Right. Yep, it's a different world.
It is a different world. So when executives are saying in this survey of the 20 key points, do your homework, it is important. Sometimes, Jen, I'll speak to a prospective advertising leader and group, and I'll say, look, before we even come to this meeting, we might be here 15 minutes. I spent 45 preparing for the meeting. I've got 12 questions I want to ask you about your ad sales group, or about your ad team, or about your publication, or about your website, or your newsletter. I got a full agenda. You guys ready? Okay, good. And so their thought was they were coming to interview me to see and my team to see if we are the best fit to coach and train and guide them. And the truth is, we're going to probably spend 40 of the next 45 minutes literally focused on the questions that we have for them. And it usually ends up with some version of, oh, my God, we covered so much, but we didn't learn anything about Power Hour. That's okay. I was busy making certain I understood about you, your team, and your company. And frankly, I want to know or want to hear if you really are focused on growing your business tenfold, 20-fold, 50-fold, or if you're just going to muddle along, then you don't need myself and my team. Anyone can muddle. We work with those who say, the kitchen is hot, and let's get rocking. That's where we want to be. And that's how we want you to treat your prospective advertisers. We want you to pour through their site. We want you to pull their name, their email address, their phone number, and take it out across Google. We want you to pour through their LinkedIn profile and those of their team. You know, if we're going to go see the purple crayon company, well, I can go see the president, the VP, the marketing director. I can pull up all their profiles. I can see what all of where they all went to school. I can see the groups that they belong and join within LinkedIn. It's simply amazing. Do your homework. Because, you see, you're going to get less no's. That's how it relates to where we're going next. You're going to get less no's when you build that level of rapport and that kind of relationship. Here's a quickie. I was speaking yesterday, Jed, to a group in Atlanta, and I was speaking with the CEO, and I found her profile three times on LinkedIn. And I said, hey, Carrie, you got a little glitch here. Did you know you have three profiles? No, I didn't. Well, I was doing my homework. I sent you a quick connection on the one, but the other two look like you haven't paid a lot of attention, but you have three. Do you know that LinkedIn will remove you and all three profiles? You look like a spam profile, a spammer. She said, I had no idea. How do I do that? I said, well, I'll walk you through. Pull up LinkedIn, and I stepped her through, and I showed her the pieces, and we spent the first 10 minutes me just solving a problem because I did my homework, and Carrie cannot have three profiles on LinkedIn. Okay, that went a long way to building that relationship. We ended the conversation, and Carrie and her team of 12 are joining our Ad Academy starting next week because I came with my homework done, point number one. Let's talk about the next point. Listen and take notes. the advice given to sales executives in the media space, listen and take notes. Actively listening means you're taking notes. Now, if you're doing it face-to-face, I can see you making notes. Jed, if I'm in your office and you're speaking about your company, you can see me making notes. It's very obvious. But if we're working by phone, it's not so obvious. Jed, I could have 2 pages of notes, but you don't know it unless I say, hang on for a second, Jed. Give me just a second. Let me write that down. Hey, Jed, I was looking at my notes. Could you clarify what you just said? Hang on for a second. Hang on, my pen just ran out of ink. Okay, good. Let's go. Yeah, I mean, you have to convey the words, right?
And it's beneficial for the prospective client to know that you're taking notes?
Absolutely. Absolutely key, because you want them to be able to know that you're making notes, because it means that you're actively listening. Okay?
Right.
And this is what ad buyers on the other side of the table are asking us to do. They gave us 20 recommendations. We're going to cover a couple of those here today, but we encourage you to go back and listen to the full-on programs that we did in prior years specifically about this. Number 3, cut to the chase. Make it quick. Tell me what you can do for me. Now, this is a biggie. This is called disruptive selling. Disruptive selling is, hey, I'm cruising along. Hey, we got our ad stuff going. Hey, I don't know why I would need you and your team. Hey, I think we're about done. That meeting's over. You just got ho-hummed out the door or off the phone call. Ho-hum. Life is golden. All is great. Okay? If you don't have anything else compelling or anything to disrupt that train, that train's rolling right past your station. Woo! You see it go by? You lost that ad sale because you brought nothing disruptive. But if you stopped and said, gee, that's interesting, because I see that you're placing ads in 2 other publications, and those publications should be in grocery store racks. You've probably seen the racks, but I'm the only one there in 800 Publix grocery stores, and I'm targeting right to your audience. Pretty disruptive. Gee, it's interesting.
Right.
You've got web ads on 2 sites that only have a tenth of the web activity and visibility as seen by the comp reports. That's why I'm reaching out to you. Or, hey, our newsletter goes out to 426,000 readers, and I noticed your ads on 2 e-newsletters that have 426 readers. Okay?
Right.
Right? So, Jed, this piece about disruptive, we've done some work around this over the years in our programs here, but unless we can make that disruptive statement, here's another disruptive statement. As best I can see, here are your 5 media sources. I've done my homework. You're in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did I get them all right? Cool. I have the rate cards. The budget, as I see it, plus or minus, is $5,000. Why am I reaching out to you? Because I have a proposal to keep those 5, add me in, and still spend $5,000. Can we continue
and
this meeting?
Right. This is really an offshoot of your first point of doing your homework.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do any of this stuff unless you enter the conversation with a plan.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How about another disruptive statement? These are all tied into moving a no to a yes. Okay. Well, we're going to come to that in just a second, but we're working around it right now. How about another one? We track all of our media results. I have the media results of your 5 competitors. They are doing sterling. You're the only, quote, law firm, not with me. You're the only daycare, not with me. You're the only chiropractor. I mean, fill in the blank, not with me. Jed, this is right in your world, right?
Right.
We track. We know the results, we know the activity, we know the difference between a full page and a half page, black and white versus color, front of the book, back of the book, web ad, e-newsletter ad. We have all that data. Or do we? Because if you're sitting there listening to today and you're squirming going, I don't have that data, then you're selling the way we all sold ads, not in 1986, but in 1946. That's what we call spray and pray. And it just ain't good enough today. And in fact, it hasn't been good enough for a decade. And if that makes you squirm, well, what did we say? We want this to be a hot kitchen. And if you're out selling on a handshake and a smile and your rapport and your relationship, there's nothing wrong with that. But that was done in the 40s. I did it in the 80s. I did it in the 90s. But I shifted it when I realized there were better tools and resources. So again, if we're disrupting your thinking today, that's the goal. That's why you're here. And we're here to just have you stop in your tracks and say, do I have my tracking data? Do I know the difference between a full and a half? Do I know the difference between this month versus last month versus this month last year? Because if you don't, then you can't talk the language of what advertisers are expecting. And this was one of the 20 points that was shared. The last one I'm going to share. We're just going to cover four of the 20. The fourth is know my business and know my competitors. Know my business and know my competitors. Know my space. And this also ties in to extensive work we've done in media comparisons because you need to know your competitors. So when they say, hey, Charlie, so glad you came in, but I'm already set. I'm with two of your competitors. And you say, I know you are. And with your permission, I want to walk through and show you side by side. You notice we didn't say, well, gee, I wanted to show you my media kit. Or, gee, what do you mean you don't like my editorial? I'm going to literally pause and go, you're right. I've already done the research. I already know that you're there. And with your permission, my three most favorite words in the English language, with your permission, I'm going to ask to show you a side-by-side media comparison. I want you to know that I've got two competitors that are fabulous in the work they do. I'm going to praise them. But then I'm going to show you the things that we do to run circles around. If you don't have a media comparison and you're outselling ads in ad space, you are at a massive disadvantage. 26 years ago, 1988, I learned how to sell with a media comparison. I will take a media comparison over a media kit any day. I'll take a media comparison over bringing in my publication or my business card or my website or my newsletter any day because it shows the differences. Jed, comments and observations on this point?
Well, just on your prior point, you know, I just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit. I mean, one of the things that we've found at MediaBids, it's a lesson that I think, you know, applies pretty well to publications who are selling selling in the manner that Ernest is talking about, is that if you can have data on the results for the advertisers who are running in your publication, it goes a long way towards being able to retain those customers because you have a solid foundation, you have an idea of what exactly is happening, and it also goes a long way towards being able to attract the types of advertisers who are going to be successful in your publication, because that, at least from my perspective, nothing sort of trumps results. You can do a fabulous job selling, and you can do a really bad job selling, and as long as you get results for the customer, you're going to be at least somewhat successful. The hard part is convincing the advertiser that you're going to get them results and the right kinds of results, in an effort to get them to try your publication. I think, you know, some of the methods that we use here are unique 800 numbers, unique URLs. We've done whole programs on this, on some of the different tools that are available for measuring and tracking. I would really encourage you to take steps to try to make that happen with at least, if not all your advertisers, with at least some categories of advertisers, because you can really benefit from having that information. It's a lot different when you gather it, when the publication's gathering that information, than when the publication is sort of giving you what they feel the results are from the ads that they've placed with you. You can't really trust what they say. They oftentimes have very unscientific methods of gathering it, and it oftentimes is incorrect.
And Jed, the counterpoint to that is, can any of you who have had, who have received this phone call, please shout I? And it goes like this. Hi, Jed and Ernest. I'm calling you because your ad did so well, I'm doubling what the amount is we pay your company this month.
Right. Never happened. Never.
I hear the silence. What you get is the opposite. The ad's not working. I'm not happy. Where's the return on ROI? If you don't have that, if you don't know it, you're going to get a whole ton of no's, which is what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about taking a no to a yes. No, I'm not renewing. What do you mean you're not renewing? Have you seen the stats, the leads, the data, the clicks, the forms, the phone calls? It goes on and on, okay?
Right.
But if you can't say those words and you say no, if you get the no, I'm not renewing, and you say, hummada, hummada, what do you mean? I'm so disappointed. I wish you weren't going to. If you are back to that spray and pray, that's not going to give you what you need, okay? So let's shift gears and let's talk for just a minute about your presentation, your ad sales presentation. And we touched on a couple of pieces because your presentation, in addition to the points you've covered, lean us into the moving a no to yes. So what we're weaving in the part about your presentation because we want to just have a placeholder that says this. Your media kit and your sales presentation is intended to close 100% of every opportunity that you're in front of, that's in the sweet spot that should be advertising with you. So where you're scratching your head going, yeah, but I've always been told you close 1 in 3 and 1 in 4, once again, the only companies and ad teams we work with are focused on 100%. Every single meeting you go into, the question is, how do I get it and why didn't I get it? Not, well, okay, so I have 4 meetings, I only need to close 1 of 4. 1 of 4 is muddling. 1 of 3 is just doing what you do. It's not the excellence we're really talking about here. So therefore, there are pieces within your presentation and within your media kit that are absolutely key. One of those we've been talking about, of the 16 most important parts of your presentation and your media kit, we've been talking about, Jed, right here, cost per call, cost per lead, cost per sale, ROI. System-wide for your publication, e-newsletter, your website, different ad size comparisons, different competitors. When you can sit down and say, you're a law firm. There are 26 law firms that are advertising with us. There's only 2 that are not, and you're one of those 2. Here, let me show you the kinds of stats, obviously cloaked without mentioning the law firm names. Here are the stats that we're generating for law firms just like yours. And frankly, the 26 that we're working with are all winning. And because you're not there, you're never going to get the kinds of stats, the kinds of calls, the kinds of clicks, the kinds of hits that we're generating. See, that's the kind of presentation we're talking about. It's not something called, here's my editorial, and here's my nice color, and here's my rate card, and so forth. That's the la-la stuff. And you were skipping over. You know, in the old days, and I was there for those days, there weren't many choices. You had a monopoly newspaper. You had a monopoly Yellow Pages. You had a couple of city publications, city magazines. You started to see a little outcrop of Shoppers. Then you started to see some of the automotive, the auto traders, the apartment guides, the home magazines, some of those specialty magazines. And then, boom, the internet. And because of the web, anyone who has $10 to buy a domain and host a site has become your competitor. You have an infinite number of competitors. So if your presentation doesn't set you apart and is not disruptive and stops the advertiser in their track, like that law firm who says, what do you mean you're working with 26? What do you mean they're averaging 50 calls? How do you know that they're generating that? And you can show them and support that. Now you have an entirely different kind of media kit and presentation. And Jed, I know the passion you have for this, and you know my passion for this being included in our media presentation.
Right. I mean, I really feel like, you know, gathering that kind of information and being able to articulate it to customers is just critical to the survival of print. You know, every other medium is doing it. And put yourself in the advertiser's shoes. you know, if a publication can take the risk out of the decision, right, to the extent that they can at least give a representation of what results are expected to be, it just makes the ad sale process so much easier. And that's exactly what, you know, is a major contributor to the success of these of online companies like Google and Yahoo and everyone else, because they've essentially taken steps to take the risk out of the advertising. That doesn't mean you need to charge the advertiser in the same way that they're charging them, but what it does mean is that the advertiser should know how their ad has performed, and you should be able to tell them, and you should be able to use that information to then sell other similar advertisers based on the information that you've gathered from the data that you've, you know, from the original advertiser. This is what Google does all day long, right? They set the price on a specific type of ad because that's what people are willing to pay. So when the next guy comes in, you know, that's the price. And if he does well, the price goes up. And if two people want it, the price goes up even more. And so, you know, again, the price, the way that they do pricing doesn't necessarily need to translate to print. But I think the idea that we're here to get you customers, we're here to get you results, is something that advertisers sort of expect to hear now.
Yeah, and Jed, just along those lines, the second point of our media kit presentation, and this is intended to be certain we're not getting no's, but the next part of what we're going to do is focus on the no's, but these are the key components to ensure we don't even get to no. Jed, this whole piece about the auction component, selling from scarcity, selling our prime placement, right? I mean, and we've done entire media bid power hours just on this piece, and this has been part also of our weekly live academy that we've been working around this, so that we talk, like, you know, for those of you, for example, that sell front covers, we talk about, hey, listen, we just sold the covers for 2000 for this year, we're pre-selling for next year, they're all gone, right? Hey, we're working on page 2 and page 3. They're gone, and there's 10 companies on a waiting list. Anybody want to talk about page 4 or the back cover? Hey, we've got 180 advertisers in print, but there's only 3 open spots on our e-newsletter, or there's only 4 key spots on our website. Working from a place of scarcity, Jed, I'm just teeing right off of what you just said, coming from a place of scarcity and requiring our advertisers to begin to compete with each other is another part of skipping past the no, and you're scrambling to a yes because you've got advertisers calling you going, did I make it? Did I make it? Did I get it on time? Am I going to be on page 3 or is that already sold? Oh, right. Shoot. Okay. Put me on a waiting list. I guess I'll be on page 4. But listen, I want page 3 as soon as it opens up.
Right. Okay? And the reason why you want – the important part of that, right, is that the reason why someone wants page 3 is because – you can show them that it's going to result in a higher yield for them, right? That it's going to produce more customers and ultimately more revenue. So you should be able to say to someone, you know, page 3 generates, you know, 15% more return than page 5, right? I mean, and that's based on the, you know, just sort of historical data.
Positively. And so, Jed, let's pause here, and we're going to work through a bunch of the questions that came in prior to and that have been coming in since we began, and then we're going to shift gears and focus just specifically on staying in the know. So Matthew asks, what is the number one item to leave out of a sales presentation? Great question. We do not put our media comparisons in there. We put those in our folder. And if we're sending something electronic to a buyer from afar, we don't tuck the comparisons in until they ask or we engage. Another key piece, we don't have a media comparison that compares us to 5 competitors, because maybe that buyer only knew about 2 of the competitors and you just gave them 3 more. So each media comparison is its own standalone page. Okay? Let's see. We have a question from Ken. What are small mom-and-pop retailers unaware of? Another great question. They don't understand the importance of advertising. Quick story on that. And Jed, you've heard me talk about, I had a pool table as a kid, always wanted a pool table. I got this beautiful sort of kids room in my home, and I wanted to put a table in. And I'm in Park City, as all of you know. We live in a ski resort. Sundance is here, and the Olympics were here in 2002. And I get my local paper, and I love my local paper, and I always saw the pool table company that advertised in Salt Lake. When I was ready to buy my table, there was only one place to go. I didn't price shop. I didn't compare. I didn't look at anybody else. I knew they were reputable, and I knew that I was buying my pool table from them, okay? Do you know they haven't advertised in almost 5 years? They're a small company. Do you know I don't know their name? I'm not even certain they're still in biz. I'd have to physically go drive there. And if I were going to buy a pool table today, I wouldn't go to the company that did all that branding, 16 years. They disappeared for the last five. I don't know their name. I think they've closed or perceive they've closed. They've gone away. You need to share those kinds of stories with mom and pop, Ken, and you need to have them understand that having a regular and consistent footprint is absolutely key. Amy asks a question. Do smaller newspapers stand a chance? Jed, the story of Warren Buffett, what did he do? He went out and bought community publications across small and medium markets. The answer is yes. Larger ones have a different set of challenges, but do newspapers stand a chance positively? And Jed, I know that that's a piece that comes across our bow quite often, yes?
It does, and you know, and I think that you know, my personal opinion is that the delivery mechanisms over time will change. You know, that there will come a time when, you know, when digital delivery of the content is probably something that more consumers want than print. I don't think we're quite there yet, but what won't change is that local newspapers and magazines are still the best providers of that content, and there really isn't a replacement. And that content and the ability to get that content is valuable for readers. So how it ends up being dispersed, I think, is still up for debate. But being a provider of that content is still valuable, and it's hard. You know, I mean, look at what just happened with Patch.com, right? I mean, they're done, and you know, they had all the money in the world behind them, and they couldn't pull it off. You know, it's a hard thing to do, and it's worth something. And I think that publications sort of do themselves a disservice by not adapting some of their sales methods to to sort of become more up to date.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and when you listen to Jed speak about this and the importance of it, I mean, the MediaBids has last year had ads placed in more than 38,000 ads last year in more than 8,200 unique publications. During months of last year, more than 45,000 inbound calls, and in some months, pushing up over 87,000 inbound calls. When you listen to Jed speak about the value and the power of print, he ain't kidding. He knows his stuff, and about once a year, I say, Jed, please, I'm sitting at the edge of my seat. I need another one of those calls. And you know the one I'm talking about, where you dig in and you pull out the stats. My eyes pop every year. I love that piece, okay? So certainly, absolutely the value of. Let me roll through a couple of additional questions. Mark asks a question, how can I add real value to my successful print magazine? Mark, you have to focus on A, not being a commodity, and B, what is your USP? Is it the extraordinary readership list? Is it prime circulation? Is it the best editorial? Is it the results of the ads? Is it your website and your search engine optimization? In one sentence, not the 30-second elevator, one sentence, you've got to answer that question, and that's where the value comes from. And then you have to continually work on that to improve that as you go forward. Let's take another question here. We've got David asks a question. How does your advice fit into an Asian community? David, we've worked with 2,000 publications, 11 time zones around the world. Other than some small cultural shifts, the world of ad sales and ad buying is very consistent around the world. So I wouldn't call out the Asian community other than they tend to be more analytical and more skeptical. Right? So therefore, your presentation has got to be CRISPR related to that. Robert asks. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Jed.
Just real quickly. I mean, one thing about, you know, a publication focusing on the Asian community, you know, we see that in a lot of these, a lot of publications that are focusing on specific ethnic groups tend to be doing much better than than their sort of more conventional counterparts in the same geographic areas. So, for example, Hispanic publication in Orlando, is doing better than the general interest publication in Orlando. And it's kind of an interesting thing because I think that there are fewer sources for these real niche communities to get the kind of news that they're looking for. And so with fewer sources, it's just a matter of, you know, just it helps keep the readers coming back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Daryl asks, does sending specials and sales to customers via email keep me fresh on their mind, or does it make them avoid me like the plague? Daryl, we beg you, do not. These are one of the core tenets of negotiating. 21 negotiating skills, Jed. We work on this on a weekly basis with those in our academy. Please do not send out the special of the week, the special of the month. Do not come from that place. But our request of all of our clients always and every year is an e-newsletter goes out every month and has nothing to do with presenting discounts. It always comes from value and education. Value and education, information about the sector, value related to advertising. It can also include an audio clip, which is something we're doing more recently, and a video clip as well. So these are the kinds of things behind the scenes that you can do and will work well, but do not send out specials. And thank you for asking that question. And let's see. Let's go forward, okay? Let's talk about staying in the know. Okay? Staying in the know is the principle that goes like this. When we get an objection, that's a no. Gee, listen, I really want to be advertising with you, but you're not in the budget. That's a no. Gee, I'm so happy. I'm going to stay where I'm at. Everything's good. That's a no. We have to know that there is going to be a no, in the course of the conversation. We want you to anticipate it. We want you to look forward to it. In fact, the best presentations with those who are the most interested have the most no's and the most objections to share. And so there's a couple of pieces. Number one, anticipate and look forward to it, because a buyer who has objections is a buyer who is buying something. They're just not buying yet from you, okay? Jed, you've heard me tell this story over the years. I'll never forget one of my earliest presentations back in the 80s. I'm giving my presentation. I'm walking through. The person's nodding their head. Yes, mm-hmm, yep, I continue my presentation. Yep, mm-hmm. Going, man, this is going great. All that's left is just getting a yes. I wrap up and go, hey, are we ready to get started? You seem so positive. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just the temp. The manager's not here.
Right.
wasn't even presenting to the decision maker. The long story how I didn't know that, but welcome to the world of not having LinkedIn and other things, and I was young in sales, and I didn't stop to ask the question. All right, I thought I was the world's best presenter. Well, yes, that's true, but I was the world's worst closer because I didn't start with who's sitting on the other side of the desk, okay? So objections are part of the breakfast of champions, and that's important to recognize. It also means that not only do we have to anticipate the no, but when we get the no, we have to be actively listening, just like we're doing now, and making notes, just like we're making now. So therefore, when they say, no, because you're not in the budget, and, well, my marketing person's not here, and, gee, I already have, you know, good website SEO. Those are three objections. And if you didn't hear all of those, you probably only heard good website SEO, and you're going to handle that objection, but you forgot the one about the marketing manager, and you forgot the fact that you're not in the budget. You have to take the no's and you have to isolate them and you have to slice them and then you have to work with them individually. You have to just work with them individually. Also, you cannot be defensive. Your body language, if you're face to face, your voice language, if you're working, by phone, you can't be defensive. You have to settle in and say, hey, thank you so much for sharing that. We're not in the budget. Hey, gee, let's talk about your marketing manager. And yes, I am aware of your website SEO. Let's also talk about that. You have to go down that path. And you have to not be defensive. And you have to practice and role play how you handle those objections. They're coming. And the key piece about staying in the know, and we shared this early on, is the longer you stay in the know, this is the secret, the closer you get to a yes. So if you settle in and you're having this conversation and they say, no, you're not in the budget, no, you're not a marketing manager, and great, we have SEO, great SEO, thank you very much, there's the door, that meeting's over. But if they continue the dialogue and they say, well, let me tell you about the budget. Gee, you know, the marketing manager, she reports to me, I'll take care of that. Hey, our website SEO is good, but we still do buy print. All of a sudden, you have a thread. You have a little thread that you can pull on that pulls you deeper back into the meeting, and you're not leaving if you're face-to-face, and you're not hanging up if you're by phone. And every single minute, and this is a little routine that we work on, Jed, with those who are in our weekly sales academy, we say, listen, when you're out selling, especially when you work by phone, we want every single one of you to have an hourglass on your desk. And we want it to be a 10-minute hourglass. And from the moment you get your first objection, no, flip it over. Go at least 10 minutes. Stay in there for at least 10 minutes and watch what happens. And all of a sudden they go, Ernest, it's insane, but you're so right. It's insane, but you're right. We stay in there. We circle back to their objections. We qualify it. We ask them to expand upon it. We don't get defensive. We practice role-playing on the things that you help us on. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes becomes 20, and then 30, 26th minute, guess what we got? We got the ad. A no became a yes.
Right.
Okay. So to each of you and to all of you, it takes practice to convert a no to yes. It takes confidence and belief, and it takes doing it. If they say, these are the three reasons I'm not going to be in, and you say, okay, well, I'll call you back next month. No, there's no other opportunity. They blew you off. They used the no to send you off. They didn't hear your confidence. You didn't stay in the ring, and there's not going to be another round. They just learned that you're not a heavyweight. You're not going to be here for 15 rounds. And they just learned that by swatting you off in the second round, you went away. Guess what? They're not giving you the chance. That's the key piece, because so many of you and so many of us have an ad pool that's a defined pool. And you either have current advertisers, former advertisers, or those who are cold that you can't engage. And the ones who are cold swatted you off. You know what I'm saying, Jed?
Yeah, that's exactly true. I mean, that's really, you know, the biggest issue is you're dealing with a finite pool. And so, you know, every time someone says no, right, it's lost revenue for the next issue, but also for your publication a year from now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have got to stay in the ring. So action step, buy an hourglass, 10 minutes, put it on your desk. When you're working by phone and you get that first objection, flip it over. Watch to see what happens when you stay in the ring. And by the way, you can do the same when you are in person. Just look at your watch, and as you're making your notes, just write down 719. Write down, you know, 212. Keep track. See how long you're able to still stay there without either being asked to leave. Don't misunderstand. We're not being rude. I asked you three times to leave. No, I'm not leaving. You didn't give me an ad.
Handcuff yourself to the desk, right?
Hey, I'll never forget. I was in a meeting with Jeff Lipinski. And Jeff Lipinski owned about 3,000 apartment buildings, and I came in to sell him ads, you know, to advertise for his apartment buildings. And I said, Jeff, listen, I want to work with you. You know, I've been trying for 6 months to get in, have a meeting. We're having this meeting. Ernest, I don't need you. What do you mean you don't need me? You got 3,000 apartments. You got 10% are vacant. You got 300. Ernest, I'm doing fine. I own my own buildings. I'm absolutely fine. I said, Jeff, you got two problems. Number one, I said, you got 300 apartments that you're priced under the market rent. by how much, Ernest? $200. I think you're walking away from $1 million or more per year. Number two, you got 300 vacants that are just spooling along. You're not driving any revenue. In fact, while we were sitting in this meeting, it cost you $12,000. You tell me how long you want to continue on that path that we're not working together. He said, sit back down. I'll work with you. I want to buy. I need to buy ads. I said, yes, you do. So you see, that's about good research. That's about disruptive. That's about knowing his business. I knew his vacancies. And therefore, I was able to sell those ads. And so can you. But I didn't walk in with my hat in my hand saying, hey, you want to buy an ad? And when he said, you know, I think we're done, I didn't leave until I finished shooting my harpoon over his bow. And when I did, I got his attention. When he told me his rents were under the market, he knew I was right. And when I said he had 300 vacants, he was stunned that I knew that. Why? Because I had done my homework. Jeff and I met on a Wednesday. I called or went out and saw every one of his buildings and managers on a Tuesday. I knew better than he did about his vacancies.
And Ernest, I think you've sort of, you know, your point is sort of twofold, right? And you didn't really mention this directly earlier, but I think as you were getting at it, and that is that you may end up doing homework on a prospective advertiser and only come to find out that, you know what, it's not a great fit. I'm not going to waste my time with this advertiser because I can't come up with a story as to why this person should advertise with us, right? It doesn't necessarily always turn out. There isn't a solution for everyone, right? But it's a matter of finding the right fits and devoting your time and efforts to them. Would you agree with that?
Oh, it's completely. I mean, you know, first off, it just comes from an integrity perspective, right? I want to make certain that from an integrity, I always defer to, if I were selling an ad to my grandma's sewing shop, you know, if I went to her, what would I do? What would be the best practice? I always want to sell from my heart if I'm presenting to my grandmother, right? And then would it be the right fit? My publication may not be the best fit for the people who need her sewing services, right? So that piece is, so yes, to be honest and come from integrity is absolutely key because your good name and our good name means the world. And can we just say one thing for just a second about that? You know, it used to be that your good word and your good name and your reputation for your ad space, your publication, your production department, your editorial team was all word of mouth. Hello, welcome to the world of Yelp and online reviews. Yeah, have you looked at Paco's Tacos review? You know, it says, hey, that place got the best tacos in the world. And then you got Rick's Burritos, and the messages, you know, in Yelp say, hey, this cockroach is flying around, right? The power of the pen is as powerful today as it was in the 1700s. We've reverted all the way back. The power of the pen is mightier than the sword. Guess what's happening online about you and your reputation and your publication and your ad team, okay? So please do not get your nose in a noose. Sell ads, as Jed said, to the right audience and deliver, okay? Jed, we have a couple of additional questions here. Gina asks a question. What is the strategy to get 6 to 12-month contracts with large advertisers? Gina, love that. A couple of pieces. One, we've done a power hour about merchandising your rate card. I think we've done two over the last maybe 6 or 7 years. Go back into Media Bids and go listen to merchandising your rate card. It's all there for you. But the key piece about longer-term agreements, you also have to price your rate card correctly. How you step somebody from a quarter to a half to a full, there's an art and science. And then how you step them across from a 3 to a 6 to a 12 also is an art and science in there. And we have probably reviewed, I don't know, a thousand or more rate cards where companies have asked us just to work on that. And then for all of our clients, we always work on the merchandising of their rate card. So if any of you want a serious look at your rate card and how to merchandise it, ping us a note. Because if you don't merchandise it, Gina, you're not going to get the longer term. There has to be enough differential in the way the rates work in order to move someone to a longer term. And then we can't skip over. Then the buyer has to have enough trust from your presentation, and you've covered the 16 key points that go into a presentation so that they do want to go longer term and they want to buy. Wally asks, how do you turn a no to a yes, and how many times do you make them say no before you move on? Wally, I love that. That's beautiful. Let's see. How do we handle that? we have to use our good judgment. Okay, I think the rule of thumb says I'm willing to. Jenna, I say this to my wife all the time, and I'm still happily married. But I say to her, I'm willing to take five no's. So I'll say, come on, are we gonna go out for dinner tonight? No. What do you mean we're not going? All right, how about your favorite Italian place? No. Well, how about if we go early before the rush? No. How about if I do a little takeout? Yes. Okay. So you get where I'm going. Jed, I'm willing to take, five no's. So Wally, hang in there. Five no's is the minimum. 10 minutes is what we're playing for. Wally also asks, do you give a gatekeeper your company name when looking for the owner decision maker on a phone call? Here's the key piece. If I've done my homework, Wally, on LinkedIn, I already know the owner. I know the owner by name, and I'm even going to reference that the owner and I are in the same LinkedIn group, and maybe there was a post that they made, or maybe we're part of the same association, or whatever that's going to be. So the answer is do your homework on that. You should know their name, and you shouldn't be scampered away by gatekeepers. There are 21 negotiating principles, Wally, that we're passionate about, that we work each week with our clients on, and the 21st one is all about gatekeepers. All right, so if you have some questions about gatekeepers, send me a quick note, and I've got some information that I can share with you related to that. We also have a note from, let's see, what is the note here from... Tom. Tom says to us, how should the salesperson dress, casual suit, blue jeans? Tom, here's a quick cut. In my early days, pre-ad sales, I worked for a little bitty company called Motorola. We sold the first car phones, cell phones. When I sold to the farmers out in Immokalee and LaBelle, this is Central Florida where the first tomatoes and strawberries and watermelons were harvested, I put on my blue jeans, my cowboy boots, and everybody knew me, and they invited me to stay at their home, and I went to kids' birthday parties. I was part of the family. I wore my boots. When I came into town, Fort Myers, Sarasota, Naples, I put my suit and tie back on. What am I saying here? Dress appropriately to your audience. Always be at their level or above. Never under is, pretty much the rule of thumb. So I hope that helps you, Tom, related to that. Denise. Denise asks, when do you decide no is a no? Basically, when do you give up on that process? Hey, Denise, that's a great question. Jed, sometimes we have to say, hey, we're going to cut our losses. I've been coming after this particular advertiser for the last 2 years. I got other fish to fry. You know what I'm saying, Jed? We have to sometimes decide that no is a continually no, and even if they're spending other dollars, if I've done everything I can, how much more time, Jed, am I going to focus on that one? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, right, you can't get blood out of a stone, right? So.
Absolutely. But we have to be careful, sales managers, we have to be careful that we don't take, 100 prospects that have been assigned to each of our five reps, and half of those we've decided are no's that will never turn to a yes. So sales managers, sales leaders, we need to be judicious in this. Because then the other challenge, Denise, back to you, is goes like this. So why are they saying no? Is it because our circ isn't large enough, or our distribution isn't good enough, or our editorial is weak, or our website isn't properly SEO'd? What is it? Because you have to kind of, it's kind of like, only my wife can say, hey, Ernest, you got bad breath, brush your teeth. Well, guess what? Only we can be honest with our advertising sales team and go, you know what? We're like boxing. We're into the third round, but we're fighting with one arm behind our back because our editorial is a day late and a dollar short. Or the quality of our print, or the number of our e-newsletter readers. It goes on and on. We have to be honest. And to the leaders on this call, in the month of January, we do SWOT work, about real honest, about the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. SWOT work is a big part of what we do every January for 19 years with our pub leaders and our advertising sales leaders, because it's a time to be honest. And we have to ask ourselves, what strategy are we going to deploy this year that we can be back this time next year that used to be a threat or a weakness or an opportunity and now has become a strength? So, Denise, I'm hoping that's helpful. Breezy asks, how do I get more solid leads? Out of the gate, without knowing all that you've got going on, I'd be sitting in LinkedIn, single best sales and marketing marketplace I've seen in 30 years in ad sales. And that would just be sort of a fast flyby on that. But Breezy, if you have more questions, ping me a note. And here's one last one that's from Kyle that says, can a rep move a no to a yes when CERC numbers are slowly declining? So, Kyle, CERC numbers are always a challenge. No matter where we've ever been in whatever economy, we've always had to pay attention to CERC numbers. So we have to ask ourselves, given the digital platforms today, if your print CERC is declining, and I'm guessing that's what you're referring to, where are you boosting it on the digital side? Okay, what are you doing on that side to gain e-newsletter readers, SEO work to bring more website unique visitors? How do you convert visitors back over to your newsletter? How do you bring those from your newsletter into your LinkedIn groups? You have to think about this as a circular strategy. So it's not just the CERC numbers. In fact, Jed, pre-the-web and pre-LinkedIn, or even pre-Facebook, to go down that path for just a second, all we had were CERC numbers. Everything rose and fell based on distribution or CERC. Actually, if we think about it through a different filter, you now have more mediums and more ways to boost your number of readers and readership. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, the CERC numbers are an important factor. I think, you know, I think, again, if you can tell a good story about results and about why your publication will work for a particular advertiser, I think the CERC numbers don't become as important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and pre all the other choices, Jed, those CERC numbers rose and fell, and you absolutely would sweat every month and sweat every year on the annual audits that were being done. Those CERC numbers were everything. Okay, that's changed. So, Kyle, and to you and to everyone who's listening to our program as we wrap up here, if it's to be, it's up to me. So, if this is declining, we have two choices: sit back and watch the breeze go by, or lean in and address an aggressive approach and next steps going forward. We're either on our heels defensive or on our toes sprinting. We want you on your toes sprinting. You've got to come from that place if you want to win in advertising sales, because let's get real, one thing that is true is that advertisers have more choices than ever, and you have to ask yourself, on their list of 25 or 225 choices, are you number one or are you number 225? And if you are, you're going to get a lot of no's. And if you're number one, you're going to get a lot of yeses. So, Jed, let's wrap up and pause right here. We've covered a lot of ground about staying in the know with the intention of having all of you have the tools, resources, and techniques coming right out of our program here today and being able to deploy this starting today. That's, Jed, as you know, always our intention. So how about some closing words, and we'll wrap up for today.
Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us, and thank you, Ernest. It was, educational as always. We appreciate all you bring to these, and look forward to doing it again next month.
Beautiful, Jed. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to all of you. Please come into MediaBids, learn more about the work that they are doing, and learn about the ways that they can help bring more revenue for you and your ad sales team. They know exactly what they're doing. If you'd like to learn more about PowerHour, simply come into our site, powerhour.com, click on publishing and advertising teams, and come join us. Specifically, every Tuesday we meet, and we talk about ad selling strategies. Again, the difference is open mic, and we take a strategy each week. You'll have a 52-week opportunity to talk about each of the topics that we cover about ad sales, driving revenue. Difference is it's open mic. We're there. We're fielding your questions, and you'll love the community that we've created. So, Jed, thank you so much. A pleasure, and we'll see all of you back next month. Take care.
Hey, thanks very much, everyone. Bye.